Okay, once again, we're back with part two of Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel. It's coming to you from KLRB-FM in Carmel. Hey, Mae.
Okay, I think we'll just do a quick rundown on those men, those five men that were caught.
These are the men that were caught in the Watergate Hotel headquarters of the Democratic National Committee, right?
Yeah, one was James McCord, Jr., former CIA agent. I'm going to try to show you in the next half hour why it was a whole CIA operation. Of course, they say they're former, but I've said many times that Nixon is a selected agent, and the agency does provide his security. It could also provide his assassination. But I want to talk about James McCord, Jr. It was described as a former CIA agent, a radio specialist with the FBI, and Central Intelligence Security Chief. He had a private security agency in Rockville, Maryland, that John Mitchell hired him from. He left the CIA. His alias at the hotel was Edward Martin. He used the name Edward Martin, and he was the chief of security at Langley, Virginia, of the CIA. The next fellow that was caught in the hotel was this Mr. Barker. He has an alias of Frank Carter. He also is known as Macho. He acted as a CIA money transactor in the planning of the Bay of Pigs invasion, and he transferred from a Mexico City bank $89,000 this last April.
For what purpose?
Well, they said it was for a real estate deal that he had in Miami. He got from undisclosed sources $89,000 in Mexico City, and out of that, $30,000 have been withdrawn and $6,500 were in the pocket, but the sources are not known yet. No one has said what it was for. They said it was for a real estate deal, but when Mr. Barker was arrested, he doesn't give his real estate office. He was using an alias, and he gave his lawyer's number, and the organization that we'll go into is a front organization that doesn't exist.
So this money was recently acquired for this break-in?
Yes, and Mr. Hunt, we'll go into Mr. Hunt from the White House, was down with Mr. Barker in Miami just 2 weeks before the break-in. He was in the direct contact to the White House was down in Miami. But Mr. Barker used an alias of Macho, and the cover story of the New York Times wanted to divert the break-in away from McCord. It was the CIA, so they made it all that the Cubans were involved in this thing, and they said the organization man was Mr. Barker, that he was the top planner of the CIA invasion, and they referred to him in the New York Times as the top planner of the CIA invasion, and went to Guatemala and Nicaragua and worked on it. He was the most prominent man of the Cuban exile community. He served as the conduit for CIA funds. This was a New York Times article, Phil, you want to know. He was the conduit of CIA funds to the exile community. When he was arrested, he used another alias.
The New York Times said that?
Yes. This is a very big story, this break-in at the Watergate. He was a conduit for CIA funds, the exile community. That was Mr. Barker. Another man that was arrested was Eugene Martinez, who wasn't quite as prominent. He's listed as a real estate agent and a soldier of fortune down in... he was violated for breaking immigration laws in 1958, and he flies airplanes, and he is a licensed real estate agent who works down there for Mr. Barker. Virgilio Gonzalez was arrested at the Watergate. He was a barber in Cuba. He's a locksmith now. It's interesting that they brought a locksmith all the way up to stay at a fancy hotel two times, that there are no locksmiths in the Washington area. They brought in a particular team, and the locksmith was brought in. The men that got away, the four suspects, no names are given. But that's the list of people that were at the Watergate, McCord and Barker and Gonzalez and Sturgis, Mr. Sturgis, Frank Sturgis. He's known as Frank Fioroni. And he was caught at the hotel. So you have Martinez, Sturgis, Gonzalez, and McCord and Barker. Those were the five people that were caught at the hotel. Now, two of those men that were caught had the names of people of a man in their pocket. Two of the men caught, Mr. Barker had the name of Mr. Hunt in his pocket, Howard H. Hunt, and the phone number. The other man, two of the five men, had the name of Hunt in their pocket. But none of the newspaper articles from the eight papers I take every day says who the second man was, because I'm sure it must have been Mr. McCord of the CIA, because he worked with McCord. McCord was in the CIA. Howard Hunt.
Hunt did.
McCord, who was arrested.
Yeah, Hunt worked with McCord.
Yeah, the biography of Hunt, whose name was in possession of two men when they were arrested, was that he was in charge of a CIA operation. He worked for the Bay of Pigs also with the CIA. He was a member of the CIA. He was the CIA's director of the Bay of Pigs invasion. Mr. Hunt was the director of the Bay of Pigs invasion. Mr. Barker was the money man that transacted the money for the Bay of Pigs. All three of them were working with the CIA and with the Bay of Pigs. Hunt left town immediately after they found out his name and phone number. They had his name with W.H. and Winehouse after it. And he left town Monday as soon as the other men were arrested. Then he went right away to New York. And, of course, the man who hires him, and that's a phony operation, too, a cover we'll go into, said he's fired. Right away, everyone became fired. McCord was fired, and Hunt was fired, and so forth. But he left town, Mr. Hunt, and he worked with Mr. Barker, who was arrested. He was with him 2 weeks ago in Miami. Mr. Hunt, who was with the CIA, in charge of the Bay of Pigs operation, was with the transaction, the money man, down in Miami 2 weeks ago. And the money man has lots of money, $89,000, unaccounted for, in continuous $100 bills. So Mr. Hunt's name was listed. Hunt and McCord of the CIA have been friends for a long time. And Hunt worked in the CIA from 1949 until 1970. You see, everyone who's involved here supposedly left their position and is working independently now. But if they were working independently, they would have offices, letterhead, stationery. Mr. Hunt wrote novels for the CIA. He's written 42 books, and he has three pseudonyms, too. He goes under the name of Robert Dietrich, John Baxter, and Gordon Davis. And it was the characters from his novels that these nine men's aliases were registered at the Watergate Hotel. And Hunt was in the White House continuously until March 29th of this year. He had contacts through a Mr. Colson, Howard Hunt, and he's been working into the White House. He was a consultant to the White House, to Charles Colson. And he just recently made a movie about Julie Nixon. He has important connections in the White House, and he has been working directly with Barker, who was arrested. And he works with McCord of the CIA. Charles Colson is a consultant to the White House. He's the man who hired Hunt, or who works with Hunt directly in the White House with Richard Nixon. And Charles Colson has the job consultant to the White House special counsel. That's Charles Colson. He and Hunt have been described in Time magazine as the master of the dirty tricks department in Washington, D.C. The Colson does the hatchet job for Nixon and the dirty tricks. Martha Mitchell's talking about dirty tricks. Time magazine says that Colson and Hunt are up in the dirty tricks department of the White House. Dirty tricks has a special connotation in espionage work, and it often involves killings and framing and getting people. It has that special connotation. And Colson has a reputation, and Hunt, of doing the dirty tricks in the Nixon administration in the White House. And Hunt and Barker have been in contact, and Barker is seen with a lot of cash, the sources you don't know where they come from. And they all work with McCord, who's been with the CIA for the last 19 years, in charge of all their security. The Secret Service man who hired Mr. McCord to do the security for Richard Nixon at the Republican convention is Al Wong. I think we mentioned him last week. He's new in the Secret Service. They're being protective about who he is, how long he's worked for Richard Nixon. If Nixon's going to be killed, there's going to be a new team that has moved in since the police state really took over in the last 9 years. It's not going to be the old guard watching Richard Nixon. Just like Lawson of Secret Service was a new man that came in when Kennedy was inaugurated, that was in charge of the Dallas trip. Al Wong is in charge of the Secret Service's Technical Security Division, and he hired James McCord, formerly of the CIA, to be in charge of the Republican Security Coordinator. Now, if he hired Mr. McCord, Mr. McCord has to have an officer qualification. I should think that the protection of the President of the United States, particularly since we're one bullet away from Spiro Agnew, would be pretty important. So the question, who is going to watch the president in Miami that he doesn't get killed? Because there are already plans disclosed of how he would have been killed in San Diego. So how do you go about hiring a man to represent the security of the president of the United States? Well, the man they hire was in charge of security in Langley, Virginia. His name was James McCord, the man arrested last Saturday. And he had an agency, a private security agency in Maryland. But it's interesting.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah,
that's... You have a private security agency? That's the kind of the kind of firm that you'd want to handle security, right?
That's right. He's been in business 2 years. But he only incorporated his agency after he got the contract from the Republican Committee. It wasn't any security agency until he had the contract. So in order to incorporate it, he incorporated November the 10th, 1971, and he got the contract earlier.
One person can't incorporate himself.
No.
He needs other people.
So he needed three people. So he put himself on the board of directors, and he put his wife, Mrs. McCord, and then he put his sister-in-law, a Mrs. Berry. Well, Mrs. Berry was contacted by the news media. She works out in Houston, Texas for an oil company in Houston, Texas. And she didn't know that she was on the board of directors of this particular agency that's going to protect the President of the United States in Miami. So the Maryland law officials went into there to check this system. And they were listed, this company was listed, as nothing about security work at all. They were listed, in quotes, as a business services studies, analysis, reports in connection with business industry, academic institutions. It was not licensed to perform security services. It paid no income taxes in 1972. It had no board of directors. This is a CIA organization, front organization, that was set up, in fact, to take control of Mr. Nixon's security. And it does not exist as an actual organization. The funding is an unknown source. We don't even know, I would like to know, what oil company that McCord's sister works for. I know the role that John Connally played in the John Kennedy killing. I know the Houston offices of the CIA and the Republican National Bank there in Houston and Miami, the funding of black money for killing. The money that was transferred from Mexico went to the Republican National Bank in Miami. If Nixon has a limit on what they can get for campaign spending or the Republican Committee for paying security, for a man hired like Mr. McCord, the money could come all the way from Texas, from oil money, to his sister. I'm not saying it happened that way, but the organization doesn't exist, and the source of the money, the $89,000 cash that these men have that are directly related to the White House, is not traced. And when John Mitchell hires as the head of the committee to reelect the president, he wants security for the president. He goes to the same organization that killed Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and took a pot shot at Wallace. He is using the same security for President Nixon, the same agency that committed the other assassinations. Now, Mr. McCord agency is one thing. The other men that were arrested in the hotel had made registration under all these aliases, nom de plumes, and they also had a letter stationery called Emeritus, A-M-E-R-I-T-A-S. These nine anti-Castro Cubans, there were eight of them in McCord that were at the hotel. Emeritus was an organization. It was supposed to be a secret Cuban revolutionary group, but there's no public records of a corporation of that kind at all. They have it's a secret organization. They have stationary letterhead. Their purpose on the outside purpose was to develop real estate down in Miami. But everyone in the group, the key officers and the directors, are the refugees from Castro's Cuba and were involved in the Bay of Pigs. They use the name of somebody else. They use Hector de la Mera, a Miami accountant, was used on this letterhead of Emeritus. And when these men were arrested, he was surprised when the Associated Press told him that his name was on this list. He says that He was going to be the treasurer of the group, but he decided not to be, and they never told him that he was off the group. They forgot to tell him that his name was used, even though he wasn't on the group. So they're using the name of a man, Hector de Lara, a Miami accountant, for an organization that doesn't exist, that again pays no taxes, that isn't recognized. Now, the federal officials, when they began to investigate who stayed at the Watergate Hotel, because the stationers from the Emeritus, found out the group didn't exist. So this is two groups that do not exist, in fact, but have funding, and these men are traveling around. There's no record of them in Dade County business transaction of what they do. Now, these are the type of CIA operations that were involved in the killing of Kennedy, but my research into that is very deep, and people sometimes wonder, you know, like on the different shows, why I don't go into some of those details, but an hour goes quickly, we can't. And I just, so I'm taking today's news and showing you what was in your paper this week. If you took the San Jose Mercury or the Monterey Herald, all this information was published, if you put it together this way, and in the New York Times. So the conclusion I have is that McCord's agency is a fictitious front. The Emeritus that they checked in at the hotel was fictitious. Now, the man who Robert Bennett hired, Howard Hunt, whose name was in the phone book of two of these men that were arrested, and Robert Bennett is the son of Wallace Bennett, the representative from Utah, the senator, and we talked about him last week. He admitted when the name Hunt came up that he's running a dummy organization to raise money for the reelection of Richard Nixon in Washington. He was caught because he hires and is responsible for Hunt, who was, you know, who his name was in the phone book at the time of the robbery. So then Bennett comes up and says, no, my organization is a dummy organization, too. And he admits, he doesn't want to get too investigated, that his organization is a dummy organization. So the firm that hires Mr. Bennett, who sent him into the White House to work with Charles Colson, a fourth group, the Robert Mullen Agency, is a public relations agency, and they admit, you know, that they are a front. They're a public relations agency, and Hunt worked for them. And from there, he goes to the White House, and he works with Charles Colson. And he went right away when they looked for Hunt, and he went to New York, because his name was in the books. He left Washington. He split, went to New York City, said he wouldn't come back and talk with these people. And Ziegler of the White House, in referring to Hunt, said Hunt was in the White House because he's involved with narcotics activities and the flow of drugs into this country. Hunt has to be involved. His contacts with Mr. Barker, McCord, are very heavy. Mr. McCord was hired by the Republicans to guard the convention security. Mr. Barker, who was caught with the cash, is a friend of McCord's. Mr. Hunt was in Miami 2 weeks ago with Mr. Barker, who guards the cash, and Mr. Colson in the White House was the man who works with Hunt and Barker. I'm going slow today, just covering a fraction of this to show how a CIA operation, the chain of command, breaks down. I don't know if it's clear, Phil, as I run along on this thing, how the chain of command breaks down here, and how I try to study who is funding Richard Nixon's campaign, the committee to reelect Richard Nixon. Where does the money come from? Where does the security come? I'm worried about his security in Miami, and these are the men responsible for the security, the anti-Castro Cubans. Now, as far as the funding of this operation, the money has not come through yet. John Mitchell got on the press right away, as soon as these men were arrested. And he said, Mr. McCord is the proprietor of a private security agency employed by our committee months ago to assist in the installation of our security system. And he has, as we understand it, a number of business clients and interests that we have no knowledge of. John Mitchell is saying, if he bugged the Watergate, he has other clients. They don't have to be mine. They can be other clients. And Mitchell said, we want to emphasize that this man or other people involved were not operating on our behalf or our consent, and I'm surprised and dismayed at these reports. There's no place in our campaign or the electoral process for this activity. Now, if John Mitchell did not hire these men to become involved in some way at the Watergate Hotel, if they were representing other clients, Mr. McCourt should have a tax record that he received any money from any other client since he left the CIA 2 years ago. If he has no other clients, and he's not even listed security work, if his only client is John Mitchell, then John Mitchell was responsible for the breaking in, because his paychecks, canceled paychecks, are traced to McCourt. If there are other clients, let them speak up. But because there is no institution, there's no organization there for surveillance in Maryland, if there is none, then John Mitchell is directly responsible, I think, for the breaking in at the Watergate. And the motivation, again, if you want to know the motivation of the thing, I think that the State Department will send Richard Nixon between now and election time, or try to Cuba. And that inside Russia, where we have agents, part of the Galen operation, espionage agents, encouraging Russia overtly to make friends with Cuba just at this time, the motivation for killing Richard Nixon would be the anti-Castro Cubans. You see, he's been in office 4 years, and he hasn't gone into Cuba or done anything about Castro. And a lot of people complain, okay, if you don't want war in Vietnam, if you don't want communists in Vietnam, how about Cuba that's so close to us? Now, the man, William Buckley, I think I mentioned it last week, was one of the men who recommended McCourt for his position it was Hunt, to be in the White House. Buckley's name was one of the men, William Buckley, who represented Minister Hunt of the CIA, to be working directly in the White House with Charles Colson. Now, I broke down this whole break into the Watergate into the cover story, which is always the excuse of what was happening. The cover story was that a bunch of anti-Castro Cubans, for some reason, were afraid that McGovern may be soft on Cubans, or they wanted to see what policy the Democrats would have towards Cubans. That has to be a cover story. They would never spend these thousands of dollars and go to all this trouble, because they already know that whatever McGovern does to Cuba is softened in comparison to what Richard Nixon would do, and Nixon didn't serve their interests at all. So this group, I believe, would be strongly anti-Nixon and would have every reason to kill him. On behalf of the CIA, they're working closely with the CIA in order to stop the elections in 1972. Larry O'Brien, the old body snatcher, I call him the old body snatcher, made his quotation that it was the ugliest question of the integrity of the political process in a quarter of a century. It was Larry O'Brien at Parkland Hospital with Kenny O'Donnell who literally grabbed John Kennedy's body off the table into a coffin and weaved their way in and out of the Dallas officials, the coroner there, and a judge tried to stop them from removing that body. They said, "We want this to be considered a regular homicide, just like any other homicide." And if John Kennedy's autopsy had been conducted at Parkland Hospital, it might have been that they'd find more holes in him than the one that Bethesda, Maryland found. They found the one in his back and one in his head, the fatal wound. John Kennedy had more holes in his body. The viewing of his coat would prove it. The autopsy x-rays would prove it. The car's been destroyed, but there's evidence locked up for 75 years. That would prove what I'm saying. And it was essential to get him to Parkland Hospital where the original autopsies were burned. And the FBI report has another bullet going finger length into his body that would make more bullets than Oswald could get out in that given time period. Therefore, he would have accomplices. Even if Oswald shot a weapon, which he did, it would prove he had accomplices, which equals conspiracy. And Lyndon Johnson gave the orders to Larry O'Brien and Kenny O'Donnell to get that body forthwith to Bethesda, Maryland. And that's where all the information was locked up and tied up. And if Larry O'Brien had just opened his eyes, he said this was supposed to be the administration of law and order. I don't know where Larry O'Brien was 2 weeks ago when Pershing Gervais surfaced and said that for John Mitchell, he lied and framed evidence against Jim Garrison. I don't know where Larry O'Brien's been the last 10 years. That he called, or the last 4 years, he calls this the law and order administration. They've broken every law and brought more disorder to this country than anybody could do. This team, even in Time magazine, conservative Time magazine, questions Dole and questions the honesty of the people, Mitchell, and the team in Washington to really tell the truth about what's happening. They question, you know, and call it suspicion. Now, Jack Anderson had an article this week on secrets, which goes back to the autopsy papers and keeping secrets against the people, because the Watergate is just a preview of what's going to happen. The General Abrams has brought the war home. 10,000 men are coming home this week. Martha Mitchell got it. Nealon are behind. Nixon's going to go. And a lot of it originated with the secrets. This overthrow of the government was allowed to take place because people let these secrets pass by without speaking up. Jack Anderson was talking about the Pentagon Papers today and wanting to get access to the secrets, and he said, I will continue to publish all and expose all that's happening. And I'm going to read his quotation and ask why he doesn't project himself into the Kennedy problem or the political assassination as much as Vietnam. He says, the power to classify information must be recognized for what it is. It is nothing less than the absolute authority of the government to make a state secret of whatever it wishes. And this divine right to classify documents has been abused to a degree beyond toleration. Not only does the government sweep its bungles and blunders and errors, embarrassments under the secrecy label, but our entire foreign policy and defense posture remains secret, except for the federal government thinks it is in its own interest to make public. He said the tragic, bitter lesson of Vietnam has shown the fatal consequence of allowing any president to exercise power in splendid isolation behind the double wall of executive privilege and official secrecy. Now, he's saying since Vietnam, the escalation of Vietnam and the government secrets really became tight after John Kennedy was killed. As soon as the Warren Commission began their work, the Chief Justice of the entire Supreme Court, Earl Warren, said many of the pieces of facts or information into the killing of John Kennedy will be locked up for the lifetime of anyone existing now. 75 years is the date set. To get access to the coat of John Kennedy, the x-rays of his autopsy, he was denied a real autopsy as if it were a homicide in Dallas. And all of a sudden, the old body snatch, Larry O'Brien, is indignant. Now, I do feel that one of the things that could happen in addition to killing Richard Nixon in Miami, because they have the blueprints of all the Democratic offices and the air conditioning, and that came out in the paper this week too, is to plant people in the office who will talk about the killing of Richard Nixon and then blame it on the Democrats. I think the importance of the anti-Castro Cubans getting into the Democratic office in Miami and Washington, it's that Patrick Gray and John Mitchell collect talking conversation about how Nixon was going to be killed and pin the rap on people who were planted in that office, because among these five men that were caught, two of them were registered Democrats. And I feel that there's a very hard power struggle going on. Greece was overthrown by the United States Army, the Central Intelligence Agency, a populist man, Andreas Papandreou, was about to really put a hard contest on for the existing military authorities, for the ruling class, and for the new military colonels that were in power. The elections were canceled in April, and they were supposed to take place in May. And the United States was responsible for that coup. And the abortive Bay of Pigs group did not break up after the Bay of Pigs. They were in Washington, the planning man, the funding man. They're messing around with the Democratic Party. They're planning to send Nixon to Cuba. Russia's making friendship with Cuba. The whole thing stinks. And Martha Mitchell will be locked up. She is a political prisoner because she saw those four men. And I'll bet you those four men were the ones that are missing. They could left California. They've gone to Mexico. Maybe they're down in Guatemala now, their old headquarters. We don't know who they are or how important they were, because we know that two of those men caught were very important. And the four that remained behind. Maybe it had been Mitchell's apartment, gave the communication, seeing if the bugging was working. We don't know where they were. There were nine registered. Four were missing. And it all adds up to my conspiracy theory of the last year, Phil, of what I've been trying to say, that 1972, the next two or three months, is going to see a drastic change, I feel, in this country. And that the whole Watergate incident is one of the most important pieces of proof that the CIA, the people that hate Nixon, are working in Miami just like a team would have worked in San Diego. You know, the TAC we talked about.